As we continue to look at the breakdown of what came out of the 2025 legislative session here in Connecticut, this was something near the beginning of the session we were focused on, and we weren't sure which way lawmakers were going to go with this. But neonics and the impact it has certainly on our habitats, our animal populations, and some real progress being made in this regard. And just to kind of recap what neonics are and how they are impacting us, not in a great way, in Connecticut, Tom Anderson is back with the Connecticut Audubon Society. And Tom, let's start with just kind of reminding folks, what are neonics and why are they so dangerous?
Yeah, what are neonics? Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
So neonics are a type of pesticide that is used extensively in Connecticut on lawns, on golf courses, on turf grass in general, and also in other areas. It's used to spray ornamental trees and shrubs, for example, to kill bugs that people, in our opinion, mistakenly think are a problem. And so we, Connecticut Audubon, has been working with a number of other organizations and like-minded individuals with a sort of a working group called Connecticut Pesticide Reform to try to get a law that severely restricts their use. And last week, the governor signed a bill that now makes it illegal. It essentially bans the use of neonics on lawns, golf courses, and other turf grass, which accounts for probably a minimum of 300,000 acres or almost one-tenth of the entire state.
Wow.
So, it is the first. Neonics have been so-called restricted use, which means you need a license to use them and only landscapers can use them. Now they're banned on lawns and turf grass. So to give you an idea of why that's important, these are the places where birds often feed. They're hopping around, dropping down from trees to find caterpillars. And I think I've cited this statistic to you before, but each spring, one nest of chickadees requires something like 6,000 to 8,000 caterpillars just to raise its babies. So when you multiply that by all of the nests of chickadees and all of the other birds who are doing the same, they need an enormous number of tiny squishy insects to feed themselves and their babies. And neonics have been killing those.
So it's a trickle-down effect where it's now killing the chickadees.
Exactly, yes.
Wow.
It either kills them directly or it takes away an important source of their food.
And sure.
So they just aren't able to grow. So it's a huge deal for the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. And Tom Anderson, again, is here at Connecticut Audubon Society. And what I think is really interesting, Tom, is I know you and I had talked about this near the beginning of the session. I didn't realize what a high priority bill, though, this was. Senate Bill 9. And what I've learned over, you know, recent years of covering legislative sessions is the lower that number is, the more of a high priority it is for lawmakers. It obviously it passed the House and the Senate. The governor just signed it earlier this month. But I didn't, I guess, realize that this was put, you know, in a top 10, if you will, docketed bill. I think that's really significant. I'm wondering how that happened with it sounds like bipartisan support.
Yeah. So it originated as a Senate bill with a much higher number.
Mm-hmm.
And then because they wanted to get it passed, I assume this is my speculation, they included it in Senate Bill 9, which is mainly a climate change bill.
Okay.
And they figured they'd put it in there. It's not like it was hidden. Everybody knew it was in there.
Right.
But they put it in there. And so all the climate change provisions passed, and the neonics provision was part of it. It passed as well. And there's also a provision that makes a certain kind of rodenticide, so-called second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides, restricted use as well. And they're not banned, but you have to have a license to use them now. And that's because they kill rodents, but they kill rodents over a number of days. And what happens is the dying rat or whatever will go out somewhere where a hawk or an owl can catch it and eat it, and then the hawk or owl gets poisoned by the rodenticide. So those haven't been banned, but they're now they were part of the bill as well. They're now restricted use. So it was a big bill, lots of great things in it, and the neonics was an important part of it.
So, Tom Anderson, my question now being, because I remember one of the areas where we saw a lot of the times this kind of spraying happening, which again, neonics, according to the Connecticut Audubon, it is a category of commonly used pesticides considered to be 7,000 times more toxic than DDT, just to give you some perspective. Golf courses use this a lot. And so I'm curious, you know, especially as we are now getting into the summer season, what does that mean for local golf courses now that it's, you know, illegal in our state?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And one of the caveats, so to speak, is that for this summer, it doesn't mean anything, although with any luck, they'll start to cut back. The law doesn't actually take effect until October 2027. And that was one of a couple of big disappointments in it. We wanted it to take effect in beginning of 2026. That it originally said that. It was changed. We're not sure why and wasn't.
Is it because it costs a lot to now switch over to something that doesn't have neonics in it? I am surprised that it would take another, you know, almost 2 years.
Yeah, so were we. And I can say that, you know, the senators who are involved in drafting it don't always tell us what they're thinking. They sort of tell us what they're going to do and then say, are you for it or against it? And while we were against that provision, we weren't so much against it that we said we're not going to support the bill.
Right, because something's better than nothing. It just is.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for this summer, it doesn't mean legally anything, but we're kind of hoping that landscapers and golf course managers will start to see the handwriting on the wall and cut back on the use of these things. There's the other not great provision in this bill is that for the time being, it exempts shrubs and trees. So you're not going to be allowed to use neonics on the lawn, but if you got shrubs and trees right next to the lawn, which of course lawns have, you can use them on that. And we think that is not particularly good at all. The Connecticut Pesticide Reform Working Group, Coalition, whatever you want to call it, will be trying over the next couple of years to get those provisions removed and get the ban extended to a wider area and get the starting date moved up a little bit earlier.
I'm confused why they would do that, Tom. What if it's a rainy day, which does happen often in Connecticut, you spray the bushes or the trees on a property and it then trickles down to the lawn, or if an animal, you know, bees, for example, I know this is supposed to help butterflies, bees, bird populations, yeah. They land on bushes and trees all the time. So how, I don't understand, that doesn't make any sense to me, why that would be excluded.
Melissa, let me say that Connecticut Audubon Society agrees with you. It doesn't make any sense to us either. And we don't actually know why, except presumably the lobbyists on the other side, the pesticide companies, the landscapers, the golf course managers, were lobbying in the other direction, and whoever negotiated this bill thought that this was an acceptable compromise. We didn't, but again, you know, something good is better than nothing,
right.
And our strategy now is to see if we can get those provisions repealed. And I should mention that there's at least a small handful of influential state senators who agree with us and who we think will be working with us over the next year or so to get those things repealed.
Well, if people want to know more information about the bill and certainly its importance, what happens next, be sure to check out the website ctaudubon.org. And Tom Anderson, I always appreciate having you on for these types of discussions and to let people know what's going on, especially because this was a major piece of legislation. And while, you know, again, some of it is really is a step in the right direction in protecting our natural habitat, our animal populations, there's still work that needs to be done. And so I thank you so much for highlighting that here on the show.
You're welcome. Always happy to be on. Thank you.